Welcome, everybody. Episode 2 of the Free Money Podcast. I'm Matt Jones, and I hope you enjoyed episode 1. I hope you did not listen to my picks. The strategy of doing no research didn't work in week 1. I think it's going to work in week 2, though. I feel like the less research you do, the better you do in week 2. But Drew did pretty well. Jay and Lyndon and I did not do great, but we're ready for week 2. We're going to win you a lot of money. And this episode is sponsored by our good friends at MyBookie. All of you that keep writing me, it's like you didn't hear me do this ad. You say, where do I bet? MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag. And if you want to win, you can do at MyBookie, their lock of the season is if either team scores in the opener tonight, you win. Now, it's going to be hard for you to get that in before the game. Chances are you're listening to this and the game's already started. But if you didn't, mybookie.ag, use the promo code FREEMONEY, and you can win a bonus. It's just $10 to enter. They have $100,000 super contest. There's all kinds of stuff. But before you get into all that, just gamble for real. Mybookie.ag, use the promo code FREEMONEY, and you get double your first deposit. It's very exciting. It's very sexy. And as somebody that has COVID and is ready to jump out of his house, Drew, I'm excited that there will be things on television for me to watch tonight.
I'm excited that Jay and I get to provide two new sets of ears for you to talk to. You seem very lonely in quarantine, and now anything you can just let out, we're here to listen.
Every night at about 10:30, hubby calls me, and it's it's just a huge moment for me. And I think it's almost like I'm a little kid telling him what happened at school today. But otherwise, it's a pretty solid, silent existence. This must be what monks do in their life. Jay, how are you?
I am doing great. My voice.
Oh,
you have COVID? Did I give it to you over the computer?
over the computer. I will say this, I'm going to take up for you because you were taking a lot of grief for your LSU picks on Twitter. But historically, and I was a fan of the show before I was on the show, this has actually been the week that you've done really well.
I'm always good in week 2 and 3.
This is always, Mac always calls this the overreaction week. So, Matt, look, if you all can see him, he looks like a prize fighter. He's like getting ready to go at it.
Oh, yeah.
I think Matt's got time to research this week. He's doing his NFL show. I think this is Matt's week, and congrats to Drew on a great week last week. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you one thing. Is there anything that stood out to you in week 1?
I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, Drew, is that defenses have caught up a little bit. That I think in the last few years, I think the unders hit in like 60% of the games or something like that. And I think offenses in college football had sort of exploded. And it felt like to me, not just Georgia Clemson, but all the games, the defenses maybe took a slight step up. So I'm liking probably still this week unders, even though nobody likes to bet unders. I think there's a lot. I think the defenses are, I think maybe because of COVID, they had 2 years to get their defenses ready. And I feel like they're better.
I didn't notice any big trends, but just some questions being answered, mainly Alabama being awesome again, so we can continue our first quarter and first half bets. It looks like I was a little worried they might take a dip by their standards this season, but I think we learned there might be free money in Tuscaloosa again this year, and I'm pretty excited about it.
For me, you know, I watched the Virginia Tech game and the Wisconsin game, and I think from last year I discounted home field advantage at a big stadium. Because, I mean, if you saw that, I mean, it was crazy. Like, I really hope that's how Kroger Field is on Saturday because I'm kind of pumped for the game.
Well, I think that's why, of all the sports, college football is the best one to gamble on. And the one that, generally speaking, I do the best on. Because I do think home field advantage makes a huge difference. And I do think the Vegas doesn't factor it in enough. I don't think it makes as big an – it makes almost no advantage in pro sports. But in college football, a great home atmosphere, I think, is huge. So with that, I guess we need to get to it. Jay's Jay's getting himself focused. I understand. I guess what we'll do is we will start every week. We start with Phil Steele's three locks of the week. I don't know what was his record last week, Jay, in locks of the week. Do we know?
Well, we know that he didn't come through with West Virginia, which was our pick. And I honestly, at the top of my head, don't remember the other two. Fine.
Well, we'll get these three. And this week, week two and week three, this is where the money is made. So let's see. What is Phil's lock of the week?
His four-star lock of the week is TCU, who's playing Cal. TCU is currently an 11-point favorite.
And is he who's he locking?
He is locking. He has TCU by 17.
Okay. I still think the Pac-12 sucks, Drew. LSU, notwithstanding, the rest of the Pac-12 looked bad. They had some terrible losses last week. I don't know anything about TCU except that I remember they one time played Ohio State in a primetime game, and I thought TCU was going to win. I was in Bristol getting ready for my ESPN show. But I like the TCU pick. I wouldn't lock it up, but I'll take TCU.
This is a game I go to tell you, I can't name any participant, anyone on either sideline or anyone that will be there or anyone that will even watch it at home. But I know TCU won big last week against some FCS team. Their defense is usually pretty good. I feel like they usually come through. California, I'm with you. Pac-12, I think, is down, even though UCLA looked good. So just pulling something out of thin air, I will roll with TCU.
I think, Drew, TCU played Duquesne last week, that big powerhouse. And I think this is right. Cal, I think, lost to Nevada. I'm kind of with Matt. I think UCLA is going to be the only decent team in the Pac-12. So I'm going with TCU here for sure.
All right, what's next?
Next, and look, Drew's face when he hears me say this game of talking about not knowing anybody. Drew, I didn't even bother to research this game when I saw it.
Oh, I'll be right.
His three-star pick is Wyoming over Northern Illinois, game we've all been waiting for.
Yes. And who? What's the spread?
The spread is Wyoming by 7. He has Wyoming by 17.
I agree with Phil. It is a Josh Allen Wyoming special. This goes back to my overreaction. Northern Illinois beat Georgia Tech. So everybody's going to think they're good, but they're not. DeKalb is not good enough to get them through another game. Wyoming is actually good. They have the ugliest uniforms in sports, that shit brown thing that they go with. But that won't stop them from going on the road and whipping up on Northern Illinois. It's an overreaction play. People giving Northern Illinois too much credit. Take Wyoming.
Hearing Phil's first two plays of the week, I'm on to him. He's trying to pick games no one will notice. He's just trying to sneak under the radar. He didn't want to put anything out there for Texas, Arkansas, or any of the games that will actually be on television. We're just going to go with obscure teams. And who is Wyoming playing again? Northern Illinois? Northern Illinois, because I'm tired of Phil trying to skate by and make us forget of what he picked.
I'm just going to make this really quick. I'm just going to take Wyoming and deal with it, whatever. If you don't know this, and you tell me if you're fine with me doing this, his next pick, his other lock of the week, do you all know what this is?
Kentucky. Matt does. Isn't it? It's Kentucky.
It is UK playing Missouri. UK is currently a 5-point favorite on Missouri. Phil has the Cats by 14.
Love it. Love it. I think Kentucky – there is a 40% chance Kentucky destroys them. I kind of think there's a 40% chance Kentucky destroys them, 40% Kentucky wins a close game, 20% they lose. So if you're telling me I get a 40% chance to cover easily, and in my other 40, I get like a 20% chance of covering the 5, that's 60. Easy, Kentucky. I love the pick. I think they're going to win Saturday. Drew?
Yeah, I liked Kentucky in this game the moment both teams played on Saturday with how good Kentucky looked, even though it was against ULM, and then Missouri struggling against Central Michigan that didn't even have its head coach. Then they start talking this week, and Eli Drinkwitz sounds like he's terrified to even play. He showed, hey, had a chance to put some confidence behind his team, and it sounded like he didn't even feel like they were ready to go to Lexington. While Mark Stoops and all the Kentucky players just keep talking about how jacked up they are after this team took advantage of them last year. So I think what I saw on the field Saturday and then their mindsets going into it, I think Kentucky could win big, real big. So I'm definitely taking them to cover 5.
I'm going to the game Saturday. I'm really excited. So I don't plagiarize here. I'm going to use Adam Luckett of KSR Stat. UK 7-3 against spread in its last 10 home games. Missouri on the road, their last 10 road games is 2-8. So hoping to see a big win here, get us hopefully in the direction of 4-0.
I hope to see you at KS Bar. Actually, never mind. I won't be there because I'll be in quarantine, but I hope you're there to see all the people before the game. All right. All right. Let's get some games now that people outside of Kentucky care about. What do we got?
So what's interesting is the UK-Missouri game is the only SEC on SEC game this week. The rest of the SEC is playing out of conference. So we're going to start with the SEC. We've got Florida playing at South Florida. Right now, Florida is a 28.5-point favorite against South Florida. And, man, I didn't realize this. The offensive coordinator from Clemson 2 years ago is the coach at South Florida. He hasn't won a game since he's been there. They're 0-9. They have a 9-game losing streak.
Yeah, this is really tough because South Florida is terrible. They lost. I can't remember who they played Saturday, but I saw part of. Maybe they played Thursday. Either way, they lost. Yeah, they lost bad. 28.5 is tough because. I think Florida is probably a little tired of the criticism that they looked bad Saturday because they did look bad. But again, overreaction. I think people now are acting like Florida stinks. I think they're going to have an incentive to come out and look really good. If I was going to bet this, I'd buy a point, Drew, and get to 27.5. But since I can't do that on here, I'll just pick pick Florida to cover. But I would like it a point lower if possible.
Even though I'm a little worried because Florida plays Alabama next week, so you know they have their eyes looking ahead to that one. I still think they can cover against a team that lost 45-0 against NC State. Florida's got QB concerns. Maybe that lingers another week. And if so, as a Kentucky fan, I'm very excited about that. But I think they'll try to get Emory Jones rolling, especially with Alabama ahead, and try to run up the score here. I don't love it, but I will take Florida.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I don't love this. At half point, I don't love. I wouldn't bet this game, but I kind of feel like Florida shows up here, so we'll see.
By the way, you also need to know Phil Steele has his revenge play of the week. Remember, we like revenge plays, is Kentucky. Just so you know.
I agree with him on that one. They're very
doubling down.
By the way, his situational play of the week, which if you remember, he always likes because it's a situation and you have to be very careful, is North Carolina. He likes the situation that they are in. He never says what that situation is. And so I've never understood why, but he likes North Carolina if you're into the situational kind of stuff.
I guess he doesn't want North Carolina in an 0-2 situation.
By the way, did you hear today, Drew, on the show when Ryan just started talking about how we were talking about moving companies and he just started talking about College Hunks moving junk?
I did. College Hunks is actually the brand that signed Miami quarterback Derek King to like $1 million deal.
I just thought it was funny that that's the one Ryan came with. What, somebody reminded me, Ryan has a friend that owns a moving company, and he didn't mention that one.
So he shouted out to the Hunks.
He mentioned the College Hunks moving junk, which I don't know. I mean, that's such a Ryan Lemon thing to do, and his friend's got to be like, hello, I have a company over here. And just as a side note, on Monday, we have a new endorser that's also a different moving company. So he found a way to screw over not only his friend, but our next endorsement.
He just wanted to say Hunk.
Any I just like that he kept going. Here's what he wanted to do. You know this is true. He just wanted to say, oh, they hired me. Like, he wanted to do that joke. You know, that was the whole reason he brought it up. is he had like, he's like, I got this joke, college hunks, they could have hired me. That's what he wanted to do.
It didn't quite deliver.
No, but they are moving his junk. All right, what's next?
So next game, Pittsburgh is traveling to Tennessee. Right now, Pittsburgh is a 3-point favorite. The over-under this game is 56.5. I'll use my dad joke here. This game's going to be a doozy. Pittsburgh's head coach, Pat Narduzzi.
It helps if you know that before the joke. Like, you know, the joke's a lot funnier if I know the who it is. Okay.
Drew liked it.
I mean, it was fine. This is the Johnny Majors Bowl. Two teams that were coached by Johnny Majors back in the day. I am going to take I'm going to take the Vols. You giving me three at home. I think they need a win for their program in order to get Tennessee where we need, which is full overconfidence mode, Drew. They need a win. And this is the way for them to get the win. They'll beat Pitt. And who thinks Pitt's good? Nobody. And then they'll go, oh, we're back. We beat Pitt. And I can laugh at them. I'm taking Tennessee to cover the three.
I'm going to take Pitt because I watched Tennessee and their quarterback, Joe Milton, cannot complete a pass.
Good. No.
And Josh Heupel, former quarterback, relies on a passing offense. And he has a dude who cannot throw the football. There were a couple plays in that Thursday night game last week where he had a wide open receiver down the field and looked like he was trying to throw it to the concession stand. So I just can't back them until I see something better than what I saw last week. I'll go with Pittsburgh, who put it on UMass pretty bad.
Can I say, by the way, Josh Heupel does not look like I thought he would. Like he is a lot heavier than I thought he was going to be because he played not that long ago. So when I saw him, I thought he was going to be like, athletic looking. I was very surprised at Josh Heupel's appearance.
I'm with you. I kind of double-taked. The coaching diet has not been good to him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to mock the guy. Like, a lot of coaches look like that, but not ones that you thought just finished playing. Josh Heupel looking like he actually ate Derek Dooley was the one that sort of surprised me in the first week of football.
Especially coming from Central Florida. You know, a lot of people there try to keep a nice appearance. Oh. It's not like he was in Starkville or anything.
Central Florida, if you were to only look online, Central Florida seems to have the most beautiful people that go to any school. It's like Arizona State and Central Florida. And then here comes Heupel. Just an Orange, to be fair to him, though, Orange doesn't flatter anyone. Like, no, Orange, whatever shape you are, Orange just only extenuates it.
And maybe it's only been since he got to Knoxville. Maybe he was just chiseled at Central Florida in just a couple months near Gatlinburg, and he's turned into this.
He's just eating all that taffy, and he's like, man, this is so good. All right, what do you got, Jay?
So I actually feel pretty strongly about this. I think the average bettor looks at the final score of the Tennessee game and feels decent about it. But I was texting Drew in the first half. Tennessee looked absolutely horrific in the first half of that game. So I think I'm going with Pittsburgh for sure here, but I will tell you my bet of the week here, and I might go a little big on this one, is the under in this game. Pittsburgh has a decent defense. The over-under is 56.5. I don't see any scenario where Tennessee is going to score over 30 points in this game.
Milton completed one pass in the second half.
Last week, you all taught me into Tennessee. I had Bowling Green. And I was going to win it, and you all flipped me to Tennessee with all your logic. I'm not letting you do it this time. You're trying to flip me to Pitt. I'm hanging on to the Vols, and they're going to cover. But go ahead.
Before we go ahead, how old is Josh Heupel? I just looked this up. What's your two guesses?
By appearance or by what I would have thought otherwise?
You can do both if you want.
I would have thought 35. By appearance, I'm going to say 61.
I'm going to go 40.
He's 43.
Ah. You mean that guy's my age?
He don't look great, but you look a lot better than him, Matt.
Hey, now, hang on just a second. I think I look fine. I still feel younger than 43. I certainly don't look like Heupel, which is good. All right, what's next?
So the next game, and this game's the spread's moved as much as any game on the board. South Carolina is playing East Carolina. It started out, East Carolina was actually a 2.5-point favorite. Now South Carolina is a 2-point favorite. I think that probably tells us that Luke Doty is going to start this game, but I don't know what to make of this game.
Well, I mean, I think it probably is in large part also because of the name. People say South Florida and how in the world, or South Carolina, how in the world are they an underdog to East Carolina? I'm not sure South Carolina is good either, but man, yeah, I would stay away from this game because the game is at East Carolina, right?
Correct, correct.
Yeah, I mean, I would stay away from this one completely. I'll take South Carolina, but you couldn't in real life make me bet this.
I'm with you. I want no part of this with actual money. I'm going to lean South Carolina. I worry about going on the road because I'm sure that would be a great atmosphere with them getting an SEC team to come to town. But East Carolina last week played App State and gave up 1 million yards on the ground. So if nothing else, South Carolina's got good running backs. Just hand it off. I don't know if you're starting Doty or a manager or a fan at quarterback, but I think South Carolina will be able to run the ball enough. So I'll take them to cover.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I don't have any idea what to do here. I don't. I'll just take East Carolina because I think South Carolina is going to be really bad this year. But who knows? Who knows? That's a tough one. Next game, UAB at Georgia. UGA is a 24-point favorite coming off their big victory over Clemson.
So the question here is, do you believe that Georgia can't score, or do you believe they just couldn't score against Clemson? And I kind of think it's the latter. I think people will overreact to Georgia not scoring much and thus will act like they can't score. I think they can. UAB's better than you think, but I don't think much about them. So I'm going to say Georgia covers. I mean, Georgia's going to break off two runs that are easy touchdowns. UAB is almost ranked, so I'm not saying they're terrible, but I'm still taking Georgia to cover at home.
So this is another one I don't love. It's way too many points for a Georgia team that scored 3 last week, and these teams gave up a combined 3 points last week. I think UAB won like 31-0, but I think Georgia turns it on this game. They didn't have an offensive touchdown. They have to be better than what they showed last week. I'm going to side with you and think that it was because they're playing a good Clemson defense, not that they're just terrible. I don't love it, but I think they'll win this one by more like 30.
Yeah, I actually like this game. I think that's an overreaction to what happened. I mean, when I look at it, I think it's crazy. It started 25.5 and went to 24. So I'm going to take Georgia here, and I'm actually going to bet that game. Next game, Texas A&M travels to Denver, Colorado to play Colorado. Right now, Texas A&M is a 17.5-point favorite. You're going to hear a lot of references in this game to Texas A&M playing at the altitude.
What did you say the spread was?
17.5.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a little much for me. I think A&M wins, but I think the half is key. I think they win by 17, exactly. And so give me Colorado. You know, I've been to Colorado, Drew, and I have to tell you, everybody acts like the altitude just makes you fall down. I never really see it. I mean, when I've been to Colorado, I'm like, oh, I'm in Colorado. If you didn't tell me that the altitude was different, I don't think I would notice. Now, to be fair, I'm not playing Division I football when I'm there, at least not very often. But I kind of feel like it's overrated. But then again, like people can kick it like 90 yards there, so maybe I'm wrong.
I guess it matters a little bit. I don't think it will matter in this game. A&M didn't look that great last week against, what was it, Kent State? That's a program that's been trying to make a statement that they belong with Alabama and I guess a Georgia in that next top tier of the SEC. And if they don't have a big game this week, they'll get laughed out of that conversation early this season. So I think they have to put on a big performance, and I think they win big at Colorado, even if they're out of breath.
Yeah, I'm going to take Texas A&M as well here. I think they're really good, you know, and I think, you know, kind of to Drew's point, I mean, they really got to show up this week or people are going to start questioning things. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M. Next game is, this is an interesting game. NC State travels to Mississippi State. Right now, NC State's a 1.5 point favorite. Over-under is 55.5 here.
It's a great game, actually. I think it's a tough one. I could see it going either way. Mississippi State should have lost last week. Had they lost, I would pick them to win here. But since they – because Leach is the king of crap followed by good, followed by crap. I think the NC State wins, though, because Mississippi State won. NC State's better than you think. I know we beat them in the Gator Bowl last year, but I think they win in Starkville. I'm going to take the Wolfpack on the road.
I'm going to call this an overreaction game. NC State won 45-0 last week, and Mississippi State barely won. I think NC State's getting too much credit, and Mississippi State's not getting enough playing at home in Starkville where that can give anyone trouble. I'm going to go Mississippi State, but this is my last time believing in Leach there. I thought he'd be good last year. They were terrible. I thought they'd win big last week. I lost money on them. In fact, I lost more money on that game than I won on three other games, so I'm still upset about it. But he's a complete fraud to me at Starkville already if they can't win this one.
So are you doing that because SEC over ACC?
No, I just really believe Mississippi State can be good with him there, and they haven't done it yet. And if they can't win at home against an ACC team, I'm finally done. This is my last time believing in them. But I made a big bet, live bet on them last week to come back and cover three. Came back and won, but that was a big wound to the bank account.
I think you tend to slack on the Wolfpack. And I think that was really good. And neither of you gave a reaction. And
that was the doozy was better for sure.
Yeah, but nobody knew what the doozy was. That would be like me saying it and you not knowing that Wolfpack was an NC State mascot.
I'm right. You're wrong.
Here, I'll tell you what. Can I give you a joke since you didn't like that one?
Yeah.
It's not my joke. It's not my joke, but I heard it yesterday and it was funny. And I haven't been able to say it because there's no one to talk to. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Steve Martin and Martin Short were on Howard Stern, and they were just making fun of each other. And I thought it was very funny. And, you know, Steve Martin, well, see, if I tell you why it's funny, I'll be like Jay, and then that won't be funny. So I'll just tell you. I thought it was really funny that Martin Short said hanging out with Steve Martin is like if you're in Deliverance. It's all fun and games till the banjos come out. I thought that was actually really, really funny. And I enjoyed it, and I wanted to share it with you. Because, you know, Steve Martin, Jay, plays the banjo.
You know, look, well, wrestling owner, now comedian, it just keeps going, the list of stuff.
Just for the record for people listening, because you can't see it, both of these dudes laugh during it. They're not trying to act like they did because they want to, like, throw me under the bus. But both of them like that Martin Short joke. And I know for a fact Drew actually likes Martin Short.
Well, I will double down on your recommendation today. I wasn't on the morning show, but I'm watching Murderers in the Building, and that is a great show.
It's funny, so, isn't it?
It's funnier than your joke attempt.
It was not my joke, first of all. I thought it was a funny joke, and it was a joke. And don't act like you didn't laugh. You did. You're just acting like you didn't.
But Murderers in the Building is a great show.
I don't like when you're too cool for school, Drew. I much prefer...
I admittedly laughed at that. So hey, I want you to think about that. Let's go back to this. So NC State, you might be able to argue right now, could be the second best team in the ACC after Miami didn't look as good as maybe people thought. I saw a power ranking. The Mississippi State right now is 11th in the SEC. So, I mean, think about that. The second team in the ACC, the 11th, and the spread is basically a pick 'em. So
that is interesting.
I'm going to take NC State here. I think they're decent. I'll tell you what, I turned the Mississippi State game off. I thought it was over. They scored a ton of touchdowns here at the end to win. So kind of crazy. This, I think, is one of the most interesting game besides the Missouri-Kentucky game. Number 15, Texas, goes to Arkansas this week. So next year, this will be an SEC matchup. Texas is a 7-point favorite right now.
First of all, next year, if you mean 2025, yes, that it is next year.
I think they're going to find a way to do it next year.
Really? You do? That's interesting. Well, I mean, I would like that, although it would change everybody's schedule. But I like the Hogs. I think Texas always gets overdone. Now, Arkansas did not play well at first against Rice, but then they kind of came on. They're at home. They've been waiting for this. This is one of these rivalries where one team cares and the other one doesn't. So Arkansas feels like Texas is their rival and they want to beat them. Texas doesn't really care. But Texas is going to be good under Sarkisian. I don't know if they're good yet. So I'm going to take the Hogs to cover the 7 at home. I don't know if they win, but they cover.
I'm going to take the road team, even though Arkansas will be a crazy atmosphere and they looked good in the second half against Rice. But I'm going to believe in the Sark, even though I've laughed at Texas for years and said they'll never be back. I thought they looked good last week against Louisiana. He took Alabama in there and scored 1 million points in Fayetteville last year. I know it's a different roster, but he has the recipe to do it. I'm going to take Texas, but with a little hesitation because Texas still isn't all the way back.
You got them covering 7 on the road.
I think they can score a lot of points.
Man, that's a drunk pick.
Well, we know what happened last week when Matt called Drew's pick.
First of all, I'm not guaranteeing this one. I'm just saying this is my Bobby Bones take out loans for Bobby Bones pick and go and take money out to bet Arkansas, Jay.
I think this is a really interesting deal because I think, and kind of sucks with Sarkisian coming into the SEC in 2020, whatever, maybe we do hope it's 2025 because I think he's probably the right coach for this team. But, you know, that was a big win for them. You know, a lot of people had picked Louisiana in week one and they came out and dusted them, I think, pretty well. But I think this game means an awful lot to Sam Pittman. And because of that, I'm going to go with Arkansas at home and take the 7 points.
I'm going to look real quick here for a second at what does Phil have? Because you got to trust Phil in situations like this.
So while you're looking that up,
Texas by 4.
Okay, and I did look this up. Phil on his lock picks was 1-3. Actually, another one was LSU, and then he did go with Marshall. I took that. I won on that one.
1-3 is not great, but that's all right. Phil, this is a situational play on Phil as well. All right, so Jay, it's kind of the midway point here. What is your Louisville restaurant of the week?
You know, I'm going to find this. I thought about this today because I thought you were going to ask me this. This restaurant is actually – huh?
I ask you every week.
I thought about what I was going to pick, and I don't know that I've ever heard you mention this because this place is right by the iHeart studio over there. It's actually on Bishop Lane, and it's Lee's Korean Restaurant. And, Matt, if you have not been here, I promise you're going to love this place.
Where is it on Bishop Lane?
It's in one of those office buildings right there that has, like – the office buildings you can see from iHeart, right?
So if you go closer to Bardstown Road, or
yes, you cross Bardstown Road, actually. That you just keep going because it's still called Bishop over there, even though you can't go straight.
You know what I'm talking about? The little side Bishop Lane over there.
Yep.
That's okay. There's a restaurant over there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, put in your phone. I literally put it in my phone to find it, and I pulled up in front of the place and thought, oh, this isn't it. And then you walk in, you're like, oh, man, Matt, it's awesome.
Called Lee's Famous Recipe?
Lee's Korean Restaurant. And if you look, it's the number 2 ranked Korean restaurant in Louisville.
Well, I will definitely try that. There's nothing to eat over there except yummy pollo and a Subway. So if there's a Lee's Korean, I'm in.
I really recommend it. Great place.
Do you like Korean food, Drew?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I'm pulling it up on my phone right now to make sure I go by there.
Lee's Korean Restaurant. Well, all right, I appreciate that. Can I tell you something outrageous? I decided the other day, you know, I have to get everything delivered here. I decided I was going to get Roosters. You want to know what the delivery fee was going to be? Mm-hmm. Not the food, the delivery. What would be an outrageous delivery fee to you?
So this is just the fee, and you're still tipping on top of that.
Fee. This isn't the tip, the food, or the taxes. Just the fee. Most restaurants, by the way, the fee is zero. Most. Yeah. What do you think would be an outrageous one?
I mean, normally I only see up to about $5 on that. So anything around 10, close to it?
Okay, what
anything
about
over
you?
10 to me would be outrageous.
$13.99. Like, yeah,
that's strong.
Where do they get the gall to charge $13.99? I almost bought it and I pull up my meal and it ends up being like $46. And I was like, what? And I looked and I was not happy. So I'm just going to tell you, Roosters, even though you're a competitor of ours, I give you props, but the props are taken away. That is the gall to charge $13.99 is infuriating. All right, what's next?
The game we've all been waiting for, the game of the week, Vanderbilt at Colorado State. Get this. I mean, and this is crazy. Both these teams last week lost to an FCS team.
Yes.
So Vandy's playing a team that lost to an FCS team, and they are a 7-point underdog.
I'm still taking Colorado State because no matter how bad that team that beat Colorado State is, they ain't as bad as ETSU, who's only had a team for 5 years. Plus, the altitude's a big deal. I mean, it just is there in Colorado. Colorado Springs is one of the weirdest cities in America. It's like half hippie, smoke weed, et cetera, and then like half religious zealots, and then like half military. There's three halves. That's how big it is. And it is an odd assortment. Like some of the weirdest religious people in the country are there. Some of the biggest pot smokers in the country are there. And then there's the military. That's where the Air Force is, right? I think. I mean, you can agree or not. Sure, and then Colorado State is there too. Like, so it's a weird, I don't know how people live there, Drew, and don't just have like an explosion of weird all over them. So that's why that home field is a big thing. I'm going to give a little secret here. My mom doesn't listen to this, so that's why I'm going to tell this. I was in Colorado. You remember that time, Drew, I called you and Ryan, and I'd had too many margaritas at the Mexican restaurant, and I was lost in Colorado Springs. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I was walking the streets and I didn't know where I was. And I called Ryan a little nervous, like, how do I find where I am? It was before I had maps on my phone. That's my one experience in Colorado Springs. But go ahead.
Colorado Springs, Matt. He's a wild time.
That's right. It's a different Matt. Doesn't come out often.
I'm also taking Colorado Springs. They lost by 19 at home. And like Jay said, the fact that they're favored over an SEC team, it should be criminal, really. But I'm going to take them. Vandy was that bad. I feel like they're going to have no interest in playing that game, whereas Colorado State could see a chance to beat an SEC team. Just what a joke for the Commodores, win or lose here, that they're even in this position.
Yeah, they're not going to win. They're going to play UConn, and that's going to be like the worst game in the history of football.
They're also debuting a new offensive coordinator. The first one didn't even make it a week. They took away his play calling duties before the game and then fired him after the game, or demoted him after the game.
They took away his play calling duties before the game?
Yeah, well, the story didn't come out till Monday that they had a new coordinator. And then kind of just in mentioning the story, the previous one didn't even really call the plays. So,
man,
they're making
it terrible to get fired before it starts.
They're making a week two adjustment after losing that game to ETSU.
Well, they need it. They're going to win one game. They'll beat UConn. That'll be their only win. What do you got, Jay?
I'm going to go with you. I think Vandy is that bad. And I just looked at this, and this is going to be my second bet of the week. Is the over-under is 50.5. Look, Colorado State only scored 23 points against South Dakota State. You're telling me that both these teams are going to put up 50.5?
South Dakota State, to be fair, is good. Like, that's a team that's pretty good. I mean, they're better. Like, they're better than Vandy. I think that the FCS team they lost to, Vandy's is much more embarrassing than who Colorado lost to, for what that's worth.
So I'm taking Colorado State. Matt, you want to do two more in NCAA and then move on to NFL?
Fine with that. Whatever you want.
So we're going to look at the two ranked – teams. So it's kind of interesting. Iowa goes to Iowa State.
Big game.
Iowa's ranked 10th. Iowa State's ranked 9th. You know, so I thought about this. It's almost equivalent of UK and U of L being ranked in the top 10 in football and playing each other. Iowa State right now is a 4.5-point favorite, and this is at home at Iowa State.
Yeah, I went to a Girls Gone Wild event at Iowa State. I was just the turkey hunter and I were in town, and we saw a sign that said Girls Gone Wild at this bar, and we went. And I'm not sure that any of that occurred. They weren't really girls, they were old women. They weren't gone wild. They were mostly just standing there looking like they wanted to fight, but they did have those cameras there. And you never know, Drew. I was thinking when I thought about running for Senate, there may be a version of Girls Gone Wild where the turkey hunter and I are sitting in the background just mortified by the girls going wild in Ames, Iowa. With that said, all right, so Iowa looked a lot better than people thought. And Iowa State kind of looked a lot worse. Iowa State always plays bad in the first game and plays better in the second game. I like a tease here because I think Iowa State's going to win. I don't know about the 4.5, though. I think it's a pretty even game. So even though I think Iowa State's going to win, if you're giving me 4.5 and I get Iowa, then I'm going to take Iowa to cover, even though, Drew, I would probably bet Iowa State in a tease, as odd as that sounds.
Yeah, it's easy to want to take the free points in this game because both these teams love to score 3 or 6 or 9 and hold the other team below that. It's going to be a low-scoring affair. I just think Iowa State's better than they showed last week against Northern Iowa. They have the best quarterback in the conference, and being the home team in a rivalry game like that, I'm going to take the Cyclones, but I wish it were 3 points and not 4.5. And I might even give it a little more time because it's already been bet down a little. If I could get it below 4, I'd feel a little better. But I think that this is kind of an overreaction game with how Iowa beat Indiana and then Iowa State didn't look that good.
So I'll tell you what, I'm actually going to use this in my teasers, but I'm going to go opposite you all because I think if you can get Iowa plus 10.5, man, I looked this up, like the last 6 games they played have been decided by less than 10 points. And those teams just don't put them enough points. If I can get 10.5 with Iowa and a tease.
I like that. Actually, you know what? You've taught me into that. I now think I would go the tease the other way. Cause I think Iowa State's going to win by like 3. So if you tell me I get 10, I think you switched me. So I would take Iowa, and I like your Iowa 10.5. I think that's a good call.
I'm going to take Iowa here, but I don't love it, but I do love the plus 10.5. All right. So, you know, the biggest game of the week is going to be Oregon at number 12, Oregon at number 3, Ohio State. Right now, that's Ohio State is favored by 14.5. And part of that's because Oregon didn't look great. They beat Fresno State by 10 last week.
Yeah, Fresno State's not bad, though. Oregon, I follow too much because Jeff Schwartz tweets about them like I tweet about wrestling. And so I see what they do more than I should. Man, 14.5 is tough. If it was 13.5, I'd probably take Ohio State. I'm going to go with my gut. I'm taking – last time a Pac-12 team like Oregon played Auburn, Auburn ran them off the field. I'm going to take Ohio State to run them off the field, Drew.
Yeah, Ohio State's receivers are just too good and too fast. You really can't do anything about them. Minnesota played Ohio State close because of their running back and keeping Ohio State off the field. I just think that offense is due for an explosion, and Oregon is about to be on the wrong end of that. So I will take Ohio State.
I kind of disagree with you guys a little here. I'm going to go with Oregon State just with that other half a point.
You better go with Oregon since they're the one playing.
What did I say?
Oregon State.
So go with Oregon. I think that they switch it up enough and show, you know, there was a long bit of the Ohio State game where it looked like Ohio State was in trouble and they kind of finished well at the end. 14.5, it's a lot of points. So I'm going to go with Oregon there. We'll wait to pick Oregon State next
week. There's a lot of times in the Oregon game that they were losing. So.
All right. So we're going to move over to the NFL slate and we're going to start, Matt and Drew, with Phil's 4-star NFL game of the week. That would be Green Bay at New Orleans. And this game started off as a pick 'em. Right now, Green Bay's favored by 3.5. Phil has Green Bay by 12.
Yeah, I like Green Bay big. I don't think New Orleans is going to be very good. They don't have a home field. This game is in Jacksonville. And Green Bay apparently has a big pocket of fans there. I doubt New Orleans does. I agree with Phil. This is my 5-star Aaron Rodgers family hates him, but you should bet on him lock of the week. Take the pack easy in this one.
When I picked this myself, had no idea Phil was also on it, but I loved Green Bay with the moment I saw the board. You got Jameis Winston, no Michael Thomas, and no home field advantage. I think all three of those things gives me even more faith in Aaron Rodgers, who even though he had his offseason beef, I think is going to have a big year and be exactly what he's been in the past for them. So I like the Packers here. And
I'm shocked this game opened as a pick-up. I mean, that shocks me. Like 3.5, I can kind of understand. But that game opening as a pick'em to me is crazy. You never see that in the NFL, by the way. I mean, games don't move 3.5 points in the NFL, Jay, absent injury. So it shows you how weird that line was.
Yeah, and even when the game was supposed to be in New Orleans, I think we would all agree that the home field advantage in the NFL is not nearly what it is in college football. I agree with you all here. I'm going to take Green Bay as well. And I will probably bet that game. Phil's 3-star pick is going to be Miami Dolphins and New England Patriots. So the Mac Jones era begins. Right now, New England is a 3-point favorite. Phil has New England by 10.
Yeah, I like New England as well. I don't know if I believe in Mac Jones, but I don't think I believe in Tua. And so Patriots, their defense is going to be a lot better. I think Damian Harris is going to have a big year. That was my steal of my fantasy draft, Drew. I made the Damian Harris pick, and I just said, hey, I'm in this fantasy draft with, like, I don't know anyone in it except Bobby Bones. And I just talked all this, you know, junk. I was like, ooh, eat it, guys. And they were like, so? And this is the 8th round. But nevertheless, Damian Harris has a big year. But that defense is a lot better than it was last year. I know that from my NFL days. Take the Patriots.
Well, I had in my mind the spread was 6, and I like the Patriots at 6. So if you're going to tell me it's only 3.5, well, then of course I'm going with the Patriots. I think Miami's just way too young. They might be good on down the road. Going to be a while. But I will go with the Mac Jones show here in his debut.
So I'm going to go opposite here. The reason is because New England didn't look great last year, and now they've got a rookie quarterback in his first start. And I think he might have a good year. I'm going to take Miami here.
I want to make a note here. We'll do 3 more, but I want to make a note before we do it that next week on this show, I've been dying to tell an off-season story about something that happened in UK athletics that needs to be told. But really, I shouldn't tell on the radio because I feel like if we tell it here, there's a trust tree that will keep it in the vicinity. It's something people should know, and they're going to find very juicy. And it involves sports, Kentucky, politics, and a lot of things together. And it's a great story. But I don't want to say it on the radio because I don't want people bitching at me. So I'm going to say it here, Drew, next week on the Free Money Podcast.
Yeah, this is like just kind of like the Cool Kids Club. You know, we tell other stories right here knowing that the people here aren't going to run and tell. Radio, you got snitches everywhere, bigger audience, somebody might hear it. And if they don't, people are going to go tell them anyway. But I feel like everyone here, we're in, little, like you said, a trust tree, a little family. Right. We know everything stays.
I say this all the time. If you listen to the Free Money Podcast, you're the hardcore of the KSR fan base. You know, I love our radio listeners. 97% of them are wonderful, but 3% of them, Drew, are mid. And we have to, we can't, I don't want the mid people knowing this, Drew. And I don't think the mids, I don't think they listen to Free Money.
No, there's no mid on Free Money. That's the Mid Money Podcast. This is all, I don't know what the word is. better than mid, but we're not mids.
People are going to hate that word when I'm done with it, because it feels like it's such a good description of things that I feel like I want to say it all the time, even though it's probably been around forever. All right, what's next?
Well, we're going to call this story next week Matt's vicinity play. That's what it's going to be. Hey, and I felt like a celebrity. Somebody on Twitter was like, hey, Jay and Lyndon, are you in section 22 at the UK game? And after listening, I'm like, yes, I was. So I got recognized, man. I went big time. I didn't even know it.
Just wait. It's going to only be a little bit more time before they're hanging outside your door.
All right. So we're going to go to tonight's game. Dallas, Tampa Bay. The spread has moved from Tampa Bay by 6. Just went up to 9.5.
Whoa.
So I'm going to, as soon as we get done with this, I'm actually leaving to go to my buddy's house. He's projecting the game onto the garage. So we're going to call this the Scotty K special, because that's what this game is. Tampa Bay minus 9.5.
Scotty K is still projecting things onto garages. Like, hey, Scotty K, update your technology. Get a screen or we were doing that at Middlesbrough High School in 94. But, well, for Scotty K, Tampa Bay is going to win, but you give me 9.5. I think I got to take the Cowboys. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people about Dak's arm, and it looks good. I mean, Dak's arm is going well. I'm kind of Dak'd out, but I think they're going to do well enough. They'll lose, but they'll cover the 9.5, so I will take the Cowboys to cover the 9.
I'm torn here because I don't see any way the Cowboys win the game. You got terrible defense. Dak coming back from his injury and not having one of his trusted offensive linemen, Zach Martin's out with COVID. And then the Bucs are your defending champs and bring every single starter back from that team. The Bucs are winning, but I'm with you. 9.5 is just way too many. I cannot give that up to America's team. I'm wearing a Cowboys shirt right now. I know Jay's a fan. I'll be rooting for the Cowboys. They lose, but they cover.
Ezekiel Elliott runs wild tonight. Take Dallas. Let's go. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go see the game.
I would like to add, I believe it was last season, I started the year like 0-8 betting on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, gonna see if we turn it around this year.
By the way, Ryan sent me his trivia question for halftime tonight. The chances of him not screwing that up are nil. Like, he's going to screw it up. And I can't wait. You have to tell me if you're there how Ryan screws up the trivia at halftime. But go ahead. Two more.
So we got Seattle Seahawks go to Indianapolis. This spread's moved a lot. Indianapolis started off as a 3-point favorite. Seattle is now a 3-point favorite.
Whoa, 6-point move.
I saw an article in the Indy Star today. It said, because Carson Wentz is going to start, said, buckle up for the Carson Wentz era. He's getting ready to throw a bunch of INTs on his way to greatness. So I don't think they're real down with him. But Seattle minus 3 at Indy.
Yeah, I'm going to take Seattle. I don't love the 6-point move, and I don't love the 3, but I think Seattle wins, and I never will pick a team to win by less than 3. So I'll take it because I think I'll either get a push or a win. Seattle's going to win. I don't believe in Carson Wentz. So give me the Seahawks.
I think the Colts are really good everywhere except Carson Wentz. I question that move. They're being a Titans fan. They're my rival. I loved it, but I don't understand that. I don't think it'll work out. Seattle's pass defense was terrible last year. So at least he can pick on that. But I still think Wentz versus Russell Wilson, you'd have to be crazy to side with Wentz here. So I'm going Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
I'm going to take Indianapolis here.
You're crazy.
I might be crazy, but I do agree with what Drew just said. I think Indy is actually a pretty good team, and I think Wentz maybe gets a little more hate than he deserves. And I think people forget Seattle's not the Seattle of 6 years ago. I mean, they're not as good as they were. So I'm going to go with Indianapolis. Matt, I'll let Drew choose the last game last week. I'm going to throw 3 games at you. Tell me which one you want to pick. Cleveland, Kansas City, Chicago at LA Rams, or Baltimore, Las Vegas.
What is the Rams Bears spread?
Yeah, let's go Rams are
7.5.
7.5. Let's pick that one. And I got the Rams by 1,000.
Chicago at the Rams. Rams are 7.5-point favorite.
Rams by 1,000. I mean, I kind of hope it happens so that Andy Dalton sucks and we could get Justin Fields in. They're going to be playing in that new stadium. Chris Collinsworth's just going to talk about how wonderful it is. And then hopefully by next week when they play the Bengals, we'll get a good quarterback in. I'll take the Rams. I also like the Chiefs big too, though, against the Browns. So what's that Chiefs spread?
5.5.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs too. So I'll take both those. We'll do both. I'll take the Rams and the Chiefs. Both to cover, Drew.
I really think Chicago is rolling Andy Dalton out just to get him murdered and keep Fields safe from Aaron Donald and the Rams defense. The Rams last year ranked first in like every defensive category. So I think this is kind of a sacrificial offering of Andy Dalton, and it's going to get very ugly. Give me the Matt Stafford debut with a pretty good offense out there to cover there. And then so we're adding Chiefs and Browns?
Yes.
We got OBJ back. We got Clowney joining Cleveland. I'll take the Browns. Even though the Chiefs are legit, I think the Browns will put up a good fight. They'll lose, but they'll cover.
Okay, I'm actually going to do this bit. I'm going to tease the Rams in Kansas City. So then I'll have the Rams at 1.5 and Kansas City plus 0.5. I really like that. And now that I'm looking at this, the over-under in the Chicago game is 46. Man, I got to think about the under on that one.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears will score. So unless you think the Rams will score more than 46, which is possible, I don't think they're going to score. I'm not high on this Bears team, but that's okay. I am high on this show. That was a lot of fun. Next week, we're going to have a heck of a story. If you hear this tonight, jump in your car and go to KS Bar or go Saturday for the games. And then the most underrated time to come to KS Bar, Drew, is Sunday for the NFL. You know, we don't pack it a lot sometimes, but not a lot. And I don't understand why. It's the best place to watch the NFL with those tables everywhere. So either of those nights, this would be a good time to come and see the Kentucky Sports Bar and Grill.
Especially if you're a fan of a team that's never on TV, like me with the Titans, and there are many others. Sometimes it's the only way going out and going to restaurants, the only way you can watch your team. So we have all of them on plenty of televisions.
There you go. Jay, thank you very much. Go get CDK and enjoy his garage TV. And we appreciate you listening, and we will see you next week here on Free Money.